Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Pick Up Your Cross Daily Podcast with your host, Trainer Mitch. And today we got another good topic of some of the stories of Jesus, where he's really getting into a lot of his good miracles and a lot of the famous stories. But without further ado, the Pick Up Your Cross Daily Podcast is called that because we are to pick up our cross and follow Jesus. And what does that mean? So the cross that you bear is, some people say, your misery becomes your ministry, or the things that you care the most about, or maybe it's your ego that you need to put on a cross and kill. So it's almost like a part of you has to die in order to follow Jesus. And that's kind of what Jesus did for us, is that he allowed himself to be killed on the cross. So he himself was killed. He killed himself, basically, for the forgiveness of our sins, right? So that we could be forgiven of our past, present, and future sins, so that we can have a direct line connection to God without any weird temple work or cleanliness or any of the 700 laws that Moses wrote. You don't have to do any of that anymore because Jesus washed the slate clean. He did that with his blood, the shedding of his blood, his death. So that's one of the most important things to really understand, is that Jesus has the power of all of heaven, all of earth. He is the beginning, he is the end, he is the first and the last, he is the Alpha and the Omega. So, without further ado, today's episode is going to be about the feeding of the 5,000 and the part where Jesus walks on the sea. So, we all probably know the story of the feeding of the 5,000, where, you know, everybody learns it when they're a kid. You know, there's a little boy who has a little bit of food, and Jesus makes do with a few loaves of bread and some fish, and everybody gets to eat. And they actually have plenty left over. There's baskets and baskets left over. Everybody's full, stuffed, and they have food left over. Somehow, some way, they have lots of food left. So, I mean, in my mind, I'm always thinking, like, well, how did that work? You know, what did that look like? You know, was it like an endless basket of food? Like, you take one out, and then, you know, it instantly replenishes itself. Like, you reach in, and it's like you're just reaching into, like, a black hole, and you're just pulling out, like, the same thing over and over again, and it never depletes itself. Who knows? Or was he just, like, making things appear out of thin air? I don't know how he did it, but pretty interesting story. So a little backdrop is that Jesus was told about the beheading of John the Baptist, and we talked about that last episode. So Jesus is heading his way to the city where this giant multitude of people hear about him traveling, so they're following him. And Jesus sees them. He moves with compassion, it says in my Bible, King James Version, and he heals their sick. So he's performing miracles in this big group of people, and he performs another miracle with the food so that the people didn't have to leave, because they were literally in the middle of the desert following this guy around, hoping and praying and wishing that they'll be treated right, and I don't even know that they're following the right guy. So Jesus gives them a bountiful meal and reward for their efforts. And the take-home message of that right now, I think, is whenever you have faith in God and you have a good relationship with Jesus Christ, then the things that you ask of, and maybe even you won't even have to ask, but He gives more than you need. He gives you more than you need. And we don't even know it sometimes. And sometimes we take advantage of it and we don't even know it. Or we're like, oh yeah, thanks in the moment. And then we forget about it. And we don't like hold on to that appreciation and the value that was given to us. And we kind of let it slip through our fingers. I know I get like that sometimes, and I'm always reminded whenever I listen to music. I listen to a lot of Christian music, and anytime I listen to music, I just like, I sob and I cry if it's good music. And I do that because I'm just so thankful that Jesus could save somebody like me, that Jesus can love me, and that I am lovable. No matter what my mistakes are, no matter how broken I was, or anything like that, how the nasty things that I've done, none of that mattered to him. My slate was totally wiped clean. Because true forgiveness is forgetting. That's what a lot of people don't understand, and they can't do it. Most people can't forgive somebody. Because there's a saying out there that is, you know, you can forgive them, but don't forget. And I can understand it. But if you truly forgive somebody, you forget what they did. Because you're giving them that second chance, that fresh, new, clean, holy chance of pure forgiveness. So if you don't know God, if you don't have Jesus in your heart, then you probably aren't very good at forgiving people. And you're probably not very good at loving people, including yourself. Yourself is included in this. I know I don't forgive myself very well. I never forget about my mistakes. I'm always thinking about them. All the bad things that I've done, they're always in my head. I rarely think about the positive things. So when we have a life and relationship with Jesus, he gives us more than we need, and he gives us more than we can even imagine being thankful for. Like, I am so amazed sometimes that he loves me, that Jesus loves me, and that he's given me this second chance in this newborn life that I have for him. It's absolutely amazing, and I can't even begin to explain how awesome it is. So that's one take-home message. The other story is a pretty famous one. Jesus walks on water. And this is after the fact of this miracle that we were just talking about with the feeding of the 5,000. Afterwards, Jesus goes into solitude and prays and finds God. So, if you don't know this already, solitude is a spiritual practice. It's a spiritual discipline. So if you want to have a good spiritual practice, then you will practice being alone and being by yourself, being in solitude, because it's very, very important for your spirit to be in that silence, to be within yourself, to be able to listen to God, to be able to attune to God, and to think about that stuff. And you can't really do that if you're not in that state of mind. So Jesus walks on water. Really cool story, because Jesus he's in solitude, right? So he's praying by himself, and his disciples are out in the sea and starting to storm and all that. And Jesus goes out after him, and he is walking through the storm on the water as the waves are going crazy. And the disciples are in the boat, and they see this figure out in the water, and they think it's a ghost. And they're like, oh, it's a ghost. And what do they say exactly here? Let me find it. But straight away, Jesus spake unto them. Oh. A little bit before that, And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked to the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." So if you haven't figured it out by this time that Jesus is the Son of God, then man, you really need a wake-up call. After seeing all these miraculous things, all of these healings, all of these amazing, amazing things, and now they're like, "Oh, surely, surely, it is true. The truth is, he is the Son of God." Like, yeah, walking on water is pretty impressive, but don't you think you would have already known that? Don't you think you already would have felt that deep within your heart of hearts that this person that you're following with your life is the Son of God? So I don't know if they were just like proclaiming it again. I don't know what the author was thinking whenever he was writing it, but pretty interesting that they would say something like that. But the main takeaway here for me is, I might have already talked about this before on a previous episode, but the main story here for me is there's a storm happening. And in life, there's a lot of storms. Life sucks most of the time. There's very few moments of happiness and joy and indulgence. And there's mostly times of heartache, misery, hard work, long hours, putting in your time, not getting a lot of benefits, you know, all that stuff. So whenever all of these crazy bad situations come up, what do we tend to think about? What do we tend to do? We tend to get really anxious. We might even get angry or depressed. Our emotions will spike in some way, shape, or form. We'll have a reaction. We might be very impulsive to act on something. And a lot of those things aren't necessarily good. So what is a good way to handle the stress of life? This story is that example. You keep your eyes and your attention focused on Jesus and God. And you filter everything else around you through the lens of Jesus. So just like Peter, whenever he said, when he was afraid already and said, "Lord, if that's you, let me come out on the water with you." So Jesus said, "Come on out, buddy." And when Peter went out, what did he start to do? As he was looking at Jesus and had his faith in Christ, he was walking on the water. But as soon as he looked around him at his situation and his circumstance, which is a massive storm happening, the waves, the wind, the rain, he started to sink. He started to sink down deeper into more trouble, more survival mode, more stress. And he said, "Lord, save me." And boom, Jesus reached out his hand, grabbed him, pulled him up. So the lesson there is, don't look at your surroundings. Don't look at your scenarios, your situation that you're in. It all sucks. And sometimes it's hard to not look at it. But if we can focus our eye, our single vision, our single-minded eye on Jesus Christ and his purpose that he has for us and for humanity and what we're supposed to do for him, then that makes all those circumstances a little less stressful, a little less daunting. And we can stay strong in that. We have Jesus as our Savior. And we have the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us and in our lives to make things better. So that's that message for that one, I think. I think that's pretty good to try to focus on seeing things through the lens of Jesus compared to seeing through the lens of human activity, because we tend to make things a lot harder than they need to be a lot of the times. But not to say that things aren't hard, because they are hard. It's just sometimes we don't want to listen to our hearts because it's scary and we have a lot of wounds there and we can't open our hearts up to be able to actually achieve the things that we want to achieve. So, with that being said, that is all I have for today. And we'll be moving on down the road in Matthew next episode. So, if you like that episode, sorry I'm yawning so much. I just got back from work and went to New York City on Saturday, so we didn't have a whole lot of sleep. Struggling a little bit, but I just made it home, so I'm safe and sound, and that's all I have to say. So if you enjoyed that, leave me a review, share the show. Thanks for listening. Tell somebody about Jesus and how he is working in your life. All right? Thanks for listening. I'll see you next time.